Welcome to the 2020 Challenge Podcast, a weekly teaching series that goes hand in hand with the 2020 Bible Reading Challenge that's inviting people like yourself to read through the entire Bible chronologically this year. I'm your host, Dan King, and each week I'm joined by Mark Minfried, my friend and the primary teacher at the Oceanside School of the Bible. Mark helps us to grow in our Christian faith by reviewing and reflecting on the preceding week's daily readings and encouraging us with key themes, principles, and practical application for our lives. As always, we invite you to participate by texting in your questions each week on your readings. Now, whether you've been with us all year so far, or if you're just jumping into the week, we're glad you're here and we look forward to learning together. Well, hello everyone, and welcome tonight again to another 2020 podcast. We are so excited to have you guys with us, as we are every single week. Oceanside Church, friends, family, and everybody who's with us. I've already seen some chatter online from people who are camping, people on Quadra Island, all over the place. And so it's great to have you guys with us tonight. We're so glad you're here, and it's going to be a great night. It's week 28. We're over halfway. We had our halfway party a couple of weeks ago, halfway through the year of Bible reading. We started back in January in Genesis. We're going through all the way to December, where we're going to hit Revelation, and we're just really enjoying this opportunity this year, 2020, to read the scripture chronologically together, day by day by day. It's, as I said, week 28. We're covering day 188 to 194. A lot of the Psalms today in this last week. We've been just all the way in on Psalms lately, and it'll continue for the next couple of days as well. We've got a guest teacher with us this week we're really excited about. Katie McMahon is here, and she's going to be walking us through the Psalms. She'll probably allude to it, but Mark gave an introduction to the Psalms about a month ago, and so we'll link that in the description below afterwards so that you can kind of watch what's kind of part one of this two-part of exploring the Psalms together. I want to give a couple of shout-outs for important information as we get going. As always, this is a relational back-and-forth conversation, these Bible studies. And so the phone number is 250-740-1026 if you'd like to text in a question, or you can write it in on the live chat, and we would love to answer those questions tonight. Also, we just want to continue to get the word out there that you can listen to this as an audio podcast in your car, when you're out for walks, what have you, by just searching for 2020 Challenge on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, whatever your platform is for that. And there's some great resources, as always, we want to direct you to oceansidechurch.ca/2020. If you're just jumping into the podcast, that's a great place to go if you're just jumping into this series, because it allows you to have links to Amazon to buy the Bible that we're using for the chronological reading this year. It gives you some great resources along the way as you journey with us. But you don't even need all that. You can just be with us tonight and be encouraged in your faith and your life. I'm going to bring Katie in on this conversation. Katie, hello. Welcome here. First time for the 2020 Challenge.
Hello.
To have you here.
Yeah, hi. Good to
great.
Be here.
Now, Paul, your husband, taught, what, 4 months ago, maybe?
Something yeah, like that. Time flies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something
but
like
now
that.
Now you're here. Yeah. And so it's just, we continue to increase the intensity of the teachers as the year moves on, obviously.
Okay.
That's good. Well, we were just chatting a little bit before the episode. We went live here for this episode, and you were saying that life is busy in your home, and we might be hearing family in the background a little bit, but that's okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Right
if
on,
you hear,
right on cue.
We have two little people in the house right on cue. She must have heard us. Yeah. I have a 4-year-old, almost 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and dad is doing his best here,
okay.
But we
that's
might hear a bit.
It's all good. Katie, would you pray for us tonight as we dive into this, and then we'll just begin to talk about the Psalms. Let's pray.
Awesome. Yeah. God, we just thank you so much for your word that is a gift to us, that is living, that is active. And we just thank you that you want to speak tonight. So we just pray for open hearts and just open spirits to receive what you would have. God, that you would just help me tonight deliver what you have for everyone tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Let's jump into it. Let's jump into the Psalms.
All right. Yeah, so it's great to be here. Thank you, Dan, for helping carry the tech load, because the Lord knows we need it in the McMunn house. We are not the most tech savvy. So, yeah, and I just want to say thank you quickly to Mark and Dina as well, just for pioneering this. And yeah, just for your guys' friendships and for allowing us to be guests on here. Yeah, we're really grateful for you. And I know Mark wouldn't want me to say anything, but thank you. So shout out to both of you guys. So yeah, 2020 challenge. I just wanted to show you this. This is a lunch Bible that my kids have taken a piece out of. So it's been real. It's been a challenge, but I'm thankful to be on this journey with you guys. And, you know, weeks where you fall behind in that, I'm thankful to have stuck with it because I'm getting so much out of it myself. Just seeing scriptures and timelines and just verses, like the lights are going on like I never have, because I've never read it chronologically like this. So like Dan said, part two of the Psalms, and I'm excited. So we know that Psalms is considered part of the poetry genre, and Mark did cover that, so I don't want to repeat what he covered, but just a quick refresh for some of the context of Psalms. We know that it's a bit different than like the narrative storytelling genres or the prophetic genres. Psalms is more of man pouring his heart out to God in all sorts of different ways. And it's not necessarily a hymn book per se, but a lot of these psalms were sung to music. But there's prayers, there's laments, there's confessions and poems. And I really hope to focus in on some of the heart of that tonight. But it is worth remembering that the psalms were written over many centuries, all the way from Moses is the author of one of them through to David and Solomon's time. And then some of them were written even after the people were in exile, which we haven't even gotten to in our readings for the year, right? We're kind of getting there. But these were just, yeah, collected over the years. And certain parts were compiled by different people. Some say maybe Hezekiah or Ezra had compiled parts of it. But as far as like, you know, we're not exactly sure when or who compiled, you know, the Book of Psalms as we know it with the 150 chapters. It was interesting to kind of read as I dug a bit that scholars suggest that, you know, one of the reasons that it was compiled was for those people that were in exile. It was almost put together to remind them of how to pray and worship and to remind them of some of their history with the Lord, which I had never really thought about when reading the Psalms. So yeah, I've loved the Psalms from a young age. So I feel it's really cool to be able to be here tonight. So with all the different authors written across a couple centuries, different times, there are some themes that I want to pick up on tonight. And one theme that's common among the many psalmists is this longing for God's presence. And it's actually the first theme that I want to highlight tonight, is that the Psalms stir in us a desire to be in God's presence. And in Psalms, we're going to read a few. There's lots that we could read. It was very hard to pick, but we're going to start with Psalms 84 is the one that we're going to read. So it's Psalms 84, verse 1 to 2. So you can hear the psalmist, I love it, live the good life. I like this translation, the New Living, because it kind of keeps it fresh, right? It's like your ear hasn't heard it quite that way. But we just see Psalms 84, there's this longing to be in the courts of the Lord. And we know that the temple, in the time this was written, it was, well, first the tabernacle, then the temple, but that was where the presence of God dwelt. That was where the glory dwelt. And that was where many of these psalms were sung and recited. And it's where the people got to meet with God. So it's just this longing to be with him we see. And we see it in many of the psalms. And I just think it's so amazing that we can read these scriptures today and they still create in us this thirst and this desire to be in God's presence, for intimacy and just to be with God. And it's amazing to me that we still sing worship songs that are based, some of them like word for word on the Psalms, that are really anointed, powerful worship songs all these years later, I think it just shows that this is no ordinary book. These are no ordinary poems, but this is just the anointed word of God. I mean, how many else, who else started singing Matt Redman in their head when we were doing Psalms 84? Nobody. Anyway, I always, yeah, there's so many Psalms that I start to read and then a song, a worship song comes in my head without even thinking, because so much of our worship comes from the Psalms. So let's look at another one in Psalms 42, verses 1 to 2. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Again, there's this urgent thirst and this longing. When can I go be with you, God? There's been times in my life I know I've been just thirsty and desperate for more. And I want to live in that place. Because if we think about the context of the Psalms, they had to wait to be in God's presence, right? Like it was the priest that could go in and only after all the rituals. And then they had to take turns, the high priest. And, you know, they were around his presence. But it's just, it's amazing that we have this incredible access to be in his presence. And I think we can sometimes take it for granted. And reading some of the Psalms, it almost stirs me out of a complacency to just thirst for him again, to want to be, they make you want to be intimate and be close to God the way that they're written. So we'll check in with you, Dan, because I could just keep going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love it. It's good. Katie, you know, I love this idea that the Psalms are people pouring their hearts out to God. I've almost said in the past, it's almost like a script for our prayers. It's almost like a script for our worship that is in the Psalms. It's joy, it's heartache, it's sorrow, it's everything, and that's what makes it such a compelling book. And I love that 150 chapters that were gathered for those in exile. And I mean, arguably, we're in exile right now. You know, the pandemic has kind of spread us all apart, and so it's good for that. And I love that bit of it. And as you mentioned, we're living the good life, as it says in this New Living Translation, which is awesome. So it's good. Thank you for, walking us through this first highlight of our heart's desire to be with him. Those were some great excerpts you chose there. What's the second kind of theme that you're looking at?
Yeah, so the second theme I want to highlight is that the Psalms, they really teach us to come to God with our hearts wide open. And if we go back to Psalms 42, there in verse 3 to 6, so after talks about the deer streams, so first 3, day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Verse 4, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers leading a great procession to the house of God. Why am I discouraged, and why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. Verse 6, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. And the psalmist goes on to say he feels like the waves and the tides are kind of sweeping over him, and he's crying out to God, why have you forgotten me? But you can hear his heart in this, and his heart is wide open, and he is holding nothing back. And, you know, Mark touched on this when he taught part one, but that the Psalms are raw and they're heartfelt. And that's something that I want to pick up on tonight. You can't get away You can't get away from the heart when you're reading the Psalms. It breaks it open. The writers are just so vulnerable with where they're at. I want to read another one in Psalms 102, verses 1 to 4. It says, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call to you. For my days disappear like smoke and my bones burn like red hot coals. Verse 4, my heart is sick, withered like grass, and I have lost my appetite. Because of my groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. And he continues on, verse 9, he says, I eat ashes for food and my tears run down into my drink. Not a whole lot uplifting there, but you see, again, this, there's nothing held back. The writer is distressed, he's overwhelmed. He sounds like he's literally sobbing. His tears are running into his drink and his heart is wide open. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Psalms, depending on where I'm at, I'm like, man, I feel a little dramatic, like maybe a little over dramatic, right? And depending on where you're at, sometimes maybe you have trouble even connecting with the Psalms because they just feel like a lot emotionally. But, you know, bear with me because I, you know, we're called to love the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds. And God created us with hearts and emotions so intricately. And, you know, there's a range of those emotions. There's passion, grief, joy, fear, anger. We've lived these, right? We've experienced them. And we are made in God's image with these very real emotions. And I live in a house with two little people, and little people have very big emotions. So I was reminded of that. It's like, yes, we, from the womb, like as they're kids, we have these emotions. And when we look at Jesus, we know that he experienced these. Scripture says he wept. We know he had righteous anger. He cried out to God. I think that Jesus was probably one of the most joyful people that ever walked the earth. Like, people loved to be around him. So we know that we see some of these in Jesus too, just that we have emotions and it's just part of us. And if our life was like a melody, you know, there are highs and there are lows and there is everything in between. And we weren't created to be excuse me, we're created to be monotone beings. That's just the beauty of how God created us. It's this, the melody that has ups and downs. And yeah, even if you look at Psalms 10, we won't read it for time, but the psalmist is like, he is just mad. Like, he is angry. He's questioning God, then he's ranting. And at one point in Psalms 10, he's like, break the arms of the wicked, O Lord. It's like, there's not, like, he's just mad. And it's funny because it's like, if someone were to say that to us in church, you know, if they were lashing out, break the arms of the wicked, we would be like, whoa. And we would get all, we'd probably get a bit religious and try to, you know, say some Christianese saying, or, you know, quote over, blessed are the peacemakers, or something, just to kind of like make ourselves more comfortable. Cause we're not, we're like, oh, you know, can you be that angry? Like, I just love the Psalms because they're real. And we all know we have real emotions. And sometimes we walk into church or we feel like we have to act a certain way or be a certain way. And these, yeah, they just weren't a certain way. They were themselves. And I think somehow in our desire to be full of faith or full of joy, which we should be, I think sometimes we can lose this value of being real and even emotional in our faith. I think we feel like we have to come to God with all of our stuff together. And the reality is that he just wants to meet us where we are. Yeah, and you know, we're all different and we're kind of on different journeys. And I think some of us, when feelings or emotions come up, I think it's easy to just kind of shove them down and we'd rather just not deal with them, because it takes time to like sort out what you're feeling. Life is busy. So we kind of just brush them aside. Or sometimes I think maybe people think it's more spiritual to just pretend you're good and are joyful. I think, yeah, for whatever reason that we do that, that we kind of just shove emotions down. The problem with that is that when we cope with it with emotions that way, I think that can seep into our relationship with God and it can seep into our worship. And then we end up feeling so disconnected from Him and we're wondering why. But God was always after our hearts. And I hope you guys are with me. It's just, you know, if our lives are a melody, then God wants, He doesn't want us to just sing the high notes out to Him. He wants to hear the lows. He wants to hear the range. That is the beauty of how He's created us. So I just want to encourage us, and I think the Psalms really encourage us to be real and to be vulnerable with God and to not hold back, but to come with our hearts wide open. I'm sorry, I'm a hand talker here and it's the screen. I feel like it's even more. But yeah, in Psalms 139, David, he just says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts." There's this being known by God wherever we're at, right? Because He already knows us. He sees us. And He loves us anyway. So we're not fooling Him when we come with a smile on our face or our hands lifted up, but our heart is on lockdown. Like He sees it. And then, so there's kind of that extreme of shoving emotions and kind of not feeling them. And then there's the other side of maybe those of us that are, would say we're more feelers and we're very in touch with our emotions. Maybe you're so in touch with your emotions that most days kind of feel like a roller coaster. And I felt like as I was preparing and just remembering just how God does want us to be real, I really felt this picture for those that are maybe lean, more emotionally inclined, but for all of us really, just that when we're facing trials or hard times, or really just when emotions seem like they're large and kind of all over the place, I think we have two choices. We can kind of take everything we're feeling and close our hands and kind of hang on for the ride and just go with wherever our emotions take us, right? We just let them lead us. And I think if we do that, we get lost in our emotions. Like, we don't know which way is up. We don't know which way is down. And if you think of a roller coaster, that's a very common analogy for emotions, right? You get off a roller coaster the exact same place that you got on. So that ride doesn't actually take you anywhere. It doesn't take you forward. It doesn't take you further. So that's the one option, is we kind of hang on to those emotions. We close our hands and we go for the ride. The other was the picture that I had was us taking everything that we're feeling and instead of just closing our fists, us actually coming to God and opening our hands and pouring those things out that are in our hearts, giving them to Him. And as we open our hands, then He can lead us into truth and into perspective and to a place of hope. Because our emotions were never meant to lead us anywhere else but to God Himself. And there's something released in our hearts when we worship and when we bring it all to God. And the psalmists, I think they're kind of our teachers in this. Like, they do this really well. They show us this. They validate this outpouring to God of the good, the bad, the ugly. The psalms just give us huge insight into how to come to God with our hearts wide open. And you know, it's a vulnerable place to be, because I think when we open our hearts or expose, we feel like that we could then get hurt, right? That's why so many people have their hearts so protected. So I think it over time, it's like practicing that of coming and opening your heart to God. And I think I just want to point out too that there's a lot of psalms that are about grief, about distress. There's a lot that are actually just throwing questions to God. And I think in our current times, you know, 2020 has been kind of a crazy year, right? Anybody with me? Let's be honest, right? And I just think that it's worth saying that grief and sorrow and even anger, that those can be appropriate responses to what we see in the world around us, if you guys are with me. Like, I think the Psalms are full of these responses of, you know, things happening around them and people just being like, what is going on, God? And this is where I'm at. So I think it's an appropriate response. And I don't think we always hear that in the church. You know, it's kind of like, pull up your bootstraps. God is good. And he is. And we do need to pull up our bootstraps. But there's this piece of, there's also this appropriate response at times. And this year has been a crazy year. I think the key for us is that we don't camp there. We don't stay there, right? We bring what's in our hearts to him with those open hands, and then we let him lead us to deeper revelation of himself, to heavenly perspective, and to truth. And I think sometimes that can look really different for different people. For me, if I'm honest, when I'm in those places of really deep emotions and processing, it looks like getting out my guitar, and I am not necessarily a musician, but getting out my guitar and strumming the same few chords that I know and crying kind of the ugly cry, just full on, and being in that moment and letting it all out there until something is changed in my spirit, right? A burden is lifted, or peace comes, or I'm just reminded that his presence is with me and he's not going to leave me. And, you know, it can look different. You know, maybe for some of you, it's blasting worship music and singing at the top of your lungs in your car. Or maybe it's journaling, right, Dan? You like journaling, right? Maybe it's getting on your knees. Maybe it's going for long walks with God and just, you know, going over what's happening in your heart. So I think these responses of a heart wide open, they can look really different, but let's learn from the Psalms, because they do this really well, to come to him with our hearts open.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you for that second theme of just being able to come to God with our hearts wide open. It's so true, isn't it, that often I think in church and in life, we want to take the emotional response and put it on the shelf, because in the workplace it's not professional, and depending sometimes on our gender, it's maybe not, you know, I'm not to be emotional, I'm to be a rock or a solid thing, or perhaps culturally people think, oh, you're just a basket case, you're just you're just undone, and we don't, there's no anchor in your life, you're just always a mess. And I love how Scripture gives us permissions, the psalmists give us permission to be who God made us to be. And part of that is our spirit, our mind, and our heart, our emotion. And that's kind of what you've touched on there.
Yeah.
I had one question that Sally asked in the live chat. She just asked us, do you have a go-to psalm for stress or anxiety? But I think for me, as you're thinking about that, you know, one of the things that I love to do is as I journal, I have areas in my journal where I'll say, you know, this is my go-to stuff for stress and anxiety, or this is my go-to stuff when I'm feeling just, you know, undone, or this is my go-to when I want to express my heart to God, in joy. But any thoughts on anxiety, stress, and where you go with the psalmists for that?
Yeah, I don't know if I have one that's like my go-to. Often if I'm in that place, I literally like, and I definitely did this in my younger teen years when there's lots of stress and anxiety and emotions. But I would just pick up the Psalms and kind of start reading until I hit something that really resonated. But I can't say that I have one necessarily that I would be my go-to. I mean, I definitely think first I thought of Psalms, 23 with the Lord is my shepherd, right away when she asked the question. Just that piece of the Lord is my shepherd, that he leads me. But no, I can't say I have a go-to.
Yeah. The one that, you mentioned Psalm 23, which I think is a fantastic place for me. The line that popped in immediately and I just quickly looked up is from Psalm 17, where it says, God, would you hide me in the shadow of your wings? That safe place. And there's so many places in the Psalm where it talks about God is my refuge. God is my hiding place. God is the one who hides me in the shadow of his wings. That those places we can go and find peace and safety and comfort in the arms of the Father. And I think the psalmists do that so well, whether it's David when the enemies are pushing down on him, or a more quiet, reflective psalm of just saying, I just want to be at peace. And those are powerful places to go in those times of stress and anxiety. I think, I love Psalm 23.
Yeah. And we're going to read, but Psalm 91 too, actually would be a really good one to go to, but we'll get there.
So we've talked a lot about emotion and how the psalmists are engaging in those different emotions that we have. But if we just deal with God in the emotional, there's no anchor point. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about the importance of being anchored to something bigger than just swimming in emotion?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, what makes the Psalms so different and so amazing, is that it's not just this emotional cloud and you're not just, drifting out to sea in your emotion. There is this anchor. And you can have all these feelings, but the Psalms themselves are anchored in this incredible theology, really, about just truth about God's character and about his word and about his steadfastness and his unchanging, everlasting characters and his word. So it's like, it's just amazing, because it's like you're actually not just left out to sea to drift. You are anchored. And that's the next theme that I want to pick up on, and that is that the Psalms ground us in the truth of who God is and his word. So the Psalms consistently declare, who he is, just how great he is, how powerful he is, how faithful he is. I could give you so many. We could read most of the Psalms have something, even the ones that start out in a really dark place, by the end have some sort of statements or big truth about who God is. And it's almost as if the psalmists are reminding themselves of who he is and how good he is and how faithful he is. And I had mentioned Psalms 91. Let's read that. Psalms 91 in verse 1-4, it says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection." And I could keep going. It's a beautiful psalm of just this safe place. So even when there are these emotions, we can tuck into that shelter and we could be anchored. This piece, "He alone is my refuge. He is my God. In him I trust. He will rescue me. He will cover me. He will shelter me." Right? His promises will protect me. They're my armor. Think about the incredible promises of God. It's just, there's so much rich theology in the Psalms that we kind of, because it's poetic and there's emotions, you can kind of brush over it, but they're deep. One thing about Psalms 91 with kind of the current times, is Paul's grandmother, who is an amazing, beautiful lady. She turns 90 in a couple months, and when COVID kind of first hit the scene, kind of early March, she's a believer, and she was reading, and she says she discovered this Psalms 91 for the first time. With her memory, I think maybe she rediscovered it, but either or, discovered, rediscovered, she found the Psalms, and she's so amazing. She literally called like everyone that she knew, and she told me that she called all her grandkids, she called her nieces and nephews, she called her friends, and she was like, "You have to read Psalm 91. You have to read it," because for her it was like this anthem of hope, right? If you think about March, there was so much on the media and so much fear, and she just read this, and it was like she just found her safe place. She found this hope that's anchored in who her God is. And she's amazing, but I love it because she was like, "Have you read it? You need to read it." I'm like, "I've read it, Grandma." She's like, "No, you need to go read it again." So we did. I actually did read it after she told me to, and was like, "Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's hope. It's this soul, our soul can anchor to something." And the psalmists, no matter what they were going through, their soul could anchor to something. And there's so many different psalms that would be good examples of this. And so instead of reading a ton of different psalms, what I did was just in the first few days of our readings in the psalms, I kind of just pulled out statements that talked about just statements about who God is or his character. And I just want to read a few of these to you guys. And it's not even like exhaustive, because literally it's only a couple days of our readings that I pulled these from. So if you were to go through the whole book, I mean, the truth of who God is throughout the Psalms is, well, we would be here all night. But let me read a few to you. So, "He is our hope and our shield, the source of all my joy. You are my God and my King. God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord of heaven's armies among us, the God of Israel is our fortress. The Lord God is our shield and our sun, our strength and our song, my rock of safety where I can always hide, the rock of my salvation, the Lord our maker, mighty king, lover of justice, the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting." I don't know about you, but it's just as we hear it and as we read it in the Psalms, we're reminded just of who our God is and how great he is and how good he is. And it can't help but build your faith as you read it and remind you just to trust him because of who he is. Many of the Psalms, they might start out in a place lamenting, confessing, angry, sad. But as they begin to speak about him, it's almost like they get swept up in this wave of praising their great king, this great faithful God. And I think for us too, no matter where we are, we can start to read the Psalms and we get swept up right in with them in praise. And that's why, worship is such a big part of our walk with God and a big part of even our Sunday meetings. We sing a lot about Jesus. We sing a lot about his name and his strength and his power. Because as we do that, we know as we focus on him and his strength and his character and the truth of who he is, it doesn't matter where we are, our faith is stirred and we are encouraged and he leads us into truth. And sometimes, you have to sing your way back into truth. Even if you're not there yet, it's like you, and I think the psalmists, I can almost see them doing it. They're like singing these truths over themselves, declaring it until their hearts believe it again, if you know what I mean. The other thing that the psalms do is that they don't only ground us in a truth of who God is, but they also ground us in a love for his word. In Psalms 119, it's the longest psalm, and each stanza is for one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, so it's really long, that one chapter. But that chapter, Psalms 119, speaks highly and pretty much consistently of the Word of God. A couple examples, so Psalms 119, verses 47. How I delight in your commands. How I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. In verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet, right? We know this one, a light unto my path. Verse 138, your laws are perfect. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. And near the end, verse 167, yeah. I have obeyed your laws, for I love them very much. Yes, I obey your commandments and law, because you know everything I do. So the Psalms, they aren't just these like emo musicians, right? It's so much more. They reinforce this love and reverence and value for God's word. And it's just, it's these heartfelt cries mixed in with these solid declarations of who God is, like deep, rich theology, then sprinkled with this love for his word. And it's not always neat and tidy, or, you know, well separated. It's kind of all in a mix. And I love that about it, because that's life. And it's almost like this pilgrimage towards praise. You know, we're reading the Psalms chronologically, so obviously they're kind of in different places. But if you were to read the Psalms from start to finish, you would see the way they're laid out, that they kind of start with more lamenting and confessions. They kind of start a bit heavier, and they slowly build to more praise near the end. And as you get to kind of the end of Psalms, you have the Psalms of the Ascents. And that's just, you'll see them in your readings if we haven't. It'll be the next couple of days here. But it's the people going up to Jerusalem. So they would be going up for the festivals to celebrate. And they would be expectant. They're going to be worshiping. They're going to be near God's temple. They're going to be celebrating God's goodness to them as a people. And it's like this expectation, right? These songs would have been sung as the people, you know, in crowds are going up to the city. So you see that kind of, it's the Psalms 120s, 130s, and then it's just this building of praise in Psalms 146 to 150, the last kind of five chapters. It's this all out, just building of praise. You can see it's like the way, it's cool the way it's laid out. And I never actually really thought about it until studying it this time around. But if you read in the end, it's, you'll get there in a couple days, but it's lots of exclamation points. It's praise the Lord, sing a new song, you know, all these just joyful bursting forth of his praise and his glory. And it's just cool, because it's like, even in the big picture of Psalms, it can kind of start in this place that's kind of heavy or a bit more distressed, and then it builds to this praise piece. Yeah, I could keep going, Dan, but
I love it. I love it. Just it's so true. Just that sense of a welling up of praise for the Lord. And you're right. It's amazing how many of the Psalms start as laments and then end up in this kind of moving from more introspective to ending up going, "But you, Lord, I delight in you," or you know, at the end and coming to that end point. Some just sit there. Some are just, they're just there. And that's helpful too, because it just lets us know theologically that God meets us in the midst of the mud and the mire, in the pit. He comes and meets us there, and he stays with us there in that place. And theologically, that's important to know as well. And the Song of Ascents, the Psalms of Ascent, that's so helpful for us to know that these are Psalms of pilgrimage. Psalm 84 talks about, God, my strength is in you, those who set their heart on pilgrimage after you. And so as we're going along the journey, these are, again, the soundtrack, the scripts for our lives as we're expressing our heart to God. But at the same time, there's that rooting. And that's, I guess, where Psalm 1 really starts in many ways. It talks about mm-hmm. the tree rooted by the river. And I think Mark alluded to that in the introduction to the Psalms. Where there's this expressiveness, but there's a rooting, and that's, I think, what you've called us to look for in the midst of the Psalms as well. So thank you for that. So really, we've walked through three significant points. The Psalms are to stir us to be in God's presence. The Psalms teach us to keep our hearts wide open. and the Psalms ground us to the truth of who God is and His Word. If you could bring that all together and land us now with kind of a take-home thought for this week, what would that be, Kate?
I'd love to. Yes, the take-home for me and for us was, I'll take you to a scripture with Jesus in John 4. Okay. And it's a story we know well. It's Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And now, given our readings, we have a lot more context for this woman and what it meant that she was from Samaria and what that meant for what her theology looked like. It was kind of a smorgasbord of many different gods, many different religions, right? But Jesus meets her. And they have this deep conversation and it cuts to the heart. And he says something profound to her in John 4, verses 23 to 25. They're talking about, you know, do we worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem? And Jesus just says, verse 23, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And for me, the Psalms, they provide the most beautiful framework of what that looks like, I think, to worship in spirit and in truth. You know, if you think about this woman, the Samaritan woman, she would have been pretty far from worshiping in truth if we think about what her background would have been. Like, we know things were messed up right when, like, the fall of Samaria, and they were worshiping all sorts of things. So this is generations down the line. So we know that this woman would have been far from truth. And yet, as Jesus speaks to her, her heart is opened. And her spirit is receptive. And you would think then of the Pharisees at that time that often confronted Jesus. They had the truth, right? They had the truth, the law down pat, years of tradition, rituals. And yet their hearts were hardened and were far away. And, you know, Jesus says here that the Father is looking for those who will worship in this way, both in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about you, but I want to be found worshiping this way. Worshiping with this desire to be with Him in His presence, with our hearts fully engaged and wide opened and anchored, secure in the truth of who He is and His Word that's unchanging, that's eternal, that's sovereign. And I think we can... If we emphasize one over the other, we end up somewhere we don't really want to be. And the Psalms, I think, they show us really how to do this. They show us how to worship in spirit and in truth. And I just want to leave you with a quote before I close here. It's a quote by John Piper. And just think about the Psalms as I'm reading this. But it says, "Truth without emotion produces dead orthodoxy and a church full of artificial admirers. On the other hand, emotion without truth produces empty frenzy and cultivates shallow people who refuse the disciple of rigorous thought. But true worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. Strong affections for God rooted in truth are the bone and marrow of biblical worship." So my encouragement is for us to hold fast to both and be found by the Father worshiping in spirit and in truth, like in the Psalms.
So good. So good. Katie, would you pray for us to close tonight?
Yeah. God, I just thank you so much for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your word that never changes and that is a light unto our path. Won't you lead us into deeper revelations of who you are and reveal to us how to worship in spirit and in truth, Lord? We just want to be open to make the adjustments where we need to, to be more open and vulnerable with you if we need to, or to be more grounded and secure in who you are wherever we find ourselves. So I just thank you, God, for your goodness, that you love us, that you'll never forsake us, and that you're with us. You're so good, and we love you, Lord. Amen.
Katie, thank you so much for joining us tonight, for speaking into our lives through the platform of the Psalms, and just pulling out these just practical pieces of wisdom and insight that we can connect to as even the next couple of days. We've got a couple more days. And if you appreciated Katie, make sure to give her a shout out in the comments as well, in the live chat. That would be amazing. Thanks so much, Katie, and we'll talk to you, talk to you again soon. Everybody, it's been fantastic to have you here with us again tonight. Next week, another week of reading. We've got, as I mentioned, a couple more days of the Psalm. And then we really spend the bulk of this next week of reading continuing to move through Isaiah and also looking at the book of Micah. And so that next week we'll be focusing primarily on the book of Micah, a bit on Isaiah there, but this whole area of the voice of the prophets is we're going to be putting our attention next week. Mark is going to be back, so we're looking forward to that, to have him back. And guys, again, just have a fantastic week. Continue to do some readings from day 195 to day 201 with the joy of the Lord in your heart. Look to him to give you the strength as you set your heart on pilgrimage, to borrow that analogy from the Psalms, this next week. Thanks so much. God bless.